And good afternoon, Muskegon. It's that time for Turning to your show for news, information, and more on WVS 103.7 to be an M106. Let's get my co-partner in Christ in the game. How you doing, sir?
Brother Gregory T, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Right in his throat, but everything is going to be okay.
Good.
Let me tell our listeners and viewers once again some housekeeping rules. The views expressed by this show does not represent the radio station. If you have a problem, see me. All right. But other than that, we are here to educate you. So if you are driving and don't have a chance to watch this, you can go to WVS or M106 Facebook sites or YouTube or the Emoji app, and we would love for you to watch it. Also, these shows repeat themselves, and you can see this anytime and watch it on your leisure. We do go back and watch the questions that people post at different times so we can answer those questions. Remember, we are here to educate you. Only show doing this, one of the only shows that is doing this live in Muskegon. I know of one more. And speaking of one more, also, do me a favor, if you're already on Facebook, share this on your sites as well. You guys have been doing a fantastic job on that. Speaking of fantastic, what is our weather looking like?
Our weather, this forecast today, windy, as you may have noticed. We have a high of 54, but believe the rain has stopped for today. Tomorrow, sunny, low 39, high of 53. Sunday gets even better, low 48, high of 65. Monday, again, still sunny, low 42, high 64. Then Tuesday, rain returns, low of 49, but a high of 68. Wednesday, again, 50% chance of rain, low of 50, high 62. Thursday, low 45, high of 54.
All right. Before we get our guests on, I just want to make a quick announcement. The numbers came in for Dance with the Stars. I want to thank the radio station for being a huge sponsor. This year, we raised over $222,000. Class of 16, 2024, bringing the 16-year total to $2 million for food banks and shelters. I want to thank the Women's Division of the Chamber and all the people that are involved. Now, with that said, let's go to our first guest. Brother, would you introduce our first guest, Dr. John?
Yes. To our listeners?
Yes.
Okay. We have a first-time guest on today. He is the president of Muskegon Community College. Would you join me in welcoming Dr. John Selman to the program?
All right.
You know what? Well, we have to take you back and give you one of those James Brown introductions. Put your hands together for Dr. John Selman. How you doing, sir?
Good.
Welcome Absolutely. To the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Doctor, tell us a little bit about yourself before we start to talk about community college.
Well, I've been in higher education for over 35 years, worked at a lot of colleges, about five or six colleges now, and have held all kinds of positions, deans, provost, vice president, and president. And I became president here almost a couple years ago here at Muskegon Community College. But been involved in just changing lives for years. Like I said, all kind of public, private institution work. All my work has really been in higher education. So,
Pastor Melvin.
How long have you been in Muskegon total, Dr. Selman?
It has been since 2011. May of 2011. Yeah.
Okay.
Where are you originally from?
Well, originally from Mississippi. I was born in Mississippi. I moved to Ohio when I was 5 years old and spent my 4 years in Ohio. And then I went to Grand Rapids Community College and then on to University of Nebraska, then back to Eastern Michigan University. So I've kind of been floating around, spending some time in school. And
for our listeners and our viewers, why did you choose education?
Well, it's always my parents, you know, it was instilled in me very early on. I come from a family of nine. Mm-hmm. There's eight boys, and our parents always encouraged us to get a better education. You know, that was the surest route to middle class, and they wanted us to be in a better position. And they were, and education was one of the vehicles that was afforded to us.
Okay. That's Bert.
Sergeant Simon, there's a lot to talk about going to Muskegon Community College. Why don't you just start off, tell us, we're in the middle of a academic year. Tell us what kind of things are going on this year at Muskegon Community College.
Well, April's Community College month, so we got a lot of activities going on around that month, that theme. And so we're actively engaged. I'll be in Lansing spending some time with the legislators. They're talking about community colleges and some of our priorities. So, but we have commencement coming May 1st.
Okay.
We typically have about 600 or so students graduate every year. And the college is 98 years old. On June 15th of this year, the college will be 98 years old.
Wow.
So we're getting close to that centennial, 100 years. And we're really excited about it. We've impacted so many lives. You know, we are the community's college, and we pride ourselves on that. And so employment, education, training needs, workforce development needs, we try to make sure we cover all those pieces. We got some, you know, the summer, we'll start summer here in a couple of 3 weeks, and our summer school's going well. And we have some new programs coming on. And one is the ADN associate degree to the bachelor's BSN in nursing that's coming on line with us. And we're looking to make sure that an individual can get a bachelor's in nursing right here in the community and on campus. So, but a lot of exciting things. We are winter semester. We're up about 7% in student headcount. And so, but we're down prior to that, obviously with COVID and all that stuff, but we're rebounding and we're coming back and we're changing lives.
Okay.
You mentioned that you're going to be taking the trip to talk to our legislators about some priorities that you have. What are some of the priorities that you guys are facing?
Well, funding, primarily we're looking at funding. How do we keep community colleges in center stage? I work with a group of presidents of the community college presidents here in the state, and we have different issues, whether it's but mostly funding priorities, I'd say. And we are looking at the state appropriation. We get state appropriation, so we want to keep that going. We have additional dollars to support students in terms of some of the things that they need. And so, but we talk about those things, about what we need to do to help students and financially and otherwise to help support students so they can continue to persist and graduate from college.
Is there some possible changes of community college being free for certain individuals up in the air?
Community college being free for students? A lot of students right now, you have the reconnect for students that are 25 years of age and older, so in-district tuition rate is covered. You have now students that are 21 years of age, that they lowered the age. You have the Promise here. You have the Pell Grant. You know, these are all ways that you can get dollars to pay for school. And so, I mean, it's a lot of opportunities to get your education paid for. And we are familiar with them, and we make sure that students are familiar with those ways.
Okay. That's Bert.
Dr. Summer, could you talk a little bit about the relationship that the community college has with the school districts, particularly the high schools in our community?
Well, we visit all the high schools. I sit on a superintendent's group. There's a committee of superintendents, all the superintendents, and we meet once a month on a regular basis and talk about and share information, challenges, programs, ways that we can work together. So it's a regular interaction. We are We work with a lot of students with, as it relates to the Prime Zone. We work with all the counselors. We just had a counselor breakfast maybe 3 weeks ago where all the counselors in the area come and they talk. Our staff talk to them about programs and services and facilities that we have available to students. So it's regular interaction. That's one of our key constituents that are K-12 partners. And so it's regular communication, like I said, programs, initiatives, and support of each other. So
talk a little bit for the people that live in Muskegon about staying home and getting a quality education and then sending away.
Well, we all, obviously, I attended a community college myself, and so a quality, affordable education is there. We have some of the best faculty. We have some of the best thinkers in higher education here in West Michigan in our community colleges. And it's just a quality experience. But you get, you know, it's at an affordable rate. And so you get to save some money, if you will. And you don't have to pay as much that first 2 years. Or you can get, depending on the program, you can get everything paid for free. And so but that it's a huge advantage staying home, especially if you're not ready to go off to a large institution. I did that when I was coming out of high school, and it was just overwhelming. And I said, wow. I visited a college, and I lived in Ohio, so Ohio State was one of the schools, and it's just overwhelming. So, you know, we have small class sizes, we have some great faculty, great support staff. And you don't, it's probably the residential piece that you missed. It's the probably living in dorms is the piece that you missed. But in terms of quality education, some of our students, you know, one of our functions, key function is to help students transfer to senior institution to prepare them for the next level of their education. And so it's affordable, it's quality. And it helps prepare you for the next level. And I, as a student, when I was in community college, that was some of the best learning, the best instruction I had. It really prepared me for two things. I was an athlete. I wrestled. So I was prepared athletically for the next level. And I was also prepared academically for the next level. Our students that transfer from community college do as well, if not better, than the students that start off at the four-year school. So.
Talk a little bit about college readiness. I was a college coach, and you have a lot of kids that are finding a way. Not their parents are not there, and then all of a sudden they come in this environment. It's like,
yeah. You know,
talk about the things that being prepared and some of the things that parents can do to have them ready.
Well, obviously, make sure they're in school. And that they're progressing, you know, monitor some of the activities. Parents, I monitor my kids, and my parents monitored my activities academically to make sure that I was progressing. But one of the, so we have students that come, and some are at very different levels, right, in terms of academic training. But it's the college's responsibility to be student ready, you know, because we're going to have students from all over. When I say we're the community's college, we are. But the college has to be student ready, because we don't know what we're going to get. It's going to vary in terms of skill sets, and we got to meet the students where they are and to make sure that they continue, persist, and get to the next level, whether they're going to work or whether they're going to a senior institution. So when you say being ready, the institution has to be more ready. We have a bigger responsibility and more resources to be student ready than the student, than the opposite. So, so we are student ready here at Muskegon Community College to embrace students, to make sure we meet them where they are and get them to where they want to go.
Nice. That's Burns.
Yeah.
Dr. Tumby, we talked about the students going to other four-year institutions and on, but there's another part where the colleges are preparing students after they're there to go into the workforce. Could you talk about that a little bit?
We have a whole unit that focuses on workforce development. We have 300 and something, maybe 350 organizations, companies that we work with. We look at them to make sure that we meet their employment and training needs, and whether it's co-op and internships, we try to connect school to work, because that's important, because that's the transition. At the end of the day, I don't care if it's 1 year, 2 years, 4 years, 6 years, when you leave, you want to get a good job. You want to go to work. And so and so you can do that at many levels. You can get a certificate and go to work, or you can just get some skill sets and go to work. You can get a certificate, an associate degree and go to work. And so at all those stages, you can go to work. But at the end of the day, it's about the college getting you ready and working with our employers. I serve on a Talent First board, and that's about 150 employers in West Michigan here. And so we try to understand what the employment training needs are, and we try to meet and close any gaps that they have in training gaps. You know, they'll say, hey, we don't have enough workers with this skill set. Well, we have, oftentimes we have curriculum review committees, and that's made up of employers and staff. And we talk about where we have some gaps, skills gaps, and we want to be able to help attract and retain talent here in West Michigan. And so we work with employers quite closely on a regular basis.
You brought up something that's very interesting, that some people are not meant to have education do 4 years. Some people are meant to just get a certificate and go right into the workforce. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. That's fine. But you guys are offering those certificates in those trades where people can start working pretty much immediately.
Yes. And there's combinations. You know, I'll give you an example. Our welding program at the Sturge Technology Center, quite often the students will start a class and they'll get hired before the class is over because people are wanting that skill set. And so it's really, so you can, you know, it all depends on where you want to go. But you can start off just getting some skill sets, non-credit. You can move to credit, move to certificate, move to associate degree, and on to a bachelor's and so forth. But there's lots of opportunities here in Muskegon County and West Michigan to get those things done.
Now, I talked to you when we had somebody on the show a couple weeks ago about we were those parents that weren't sure what our daughter was going to do. Mm-hmm. And waited to the last second to do it, something when she was accepted into college. Mm-hmm. How important is it to be ready and be on top of applying for Pell Grants and having all that information, your FAFSA and all that stuff, getting that stuff in and not waiting to the last second?
Yeah, you got to do your part, you know, and that's is getting those things just like you described. You have to get them done. There has to be a sense of urgency because part of this financial aid game is deadlines, missing dates, and you can find yourself because the Pell Grant drives most scholarships and most institutional money that you're going to receive is that you have to have the baseline data, and that's like a Pell Grant provides this baseline data for other decisions. And so if you don't have that piece done, then you are going to be stuck and you won't be able to advance, you know, at least using additional scholarship dollars and other dollars to do it. So it's critically important to stay on top of it. If you had to stay on top of something other than your grades, is to stay on top of your financial aid. Because you can also, you know, there's a privilege there. You can get financial aid, but you can also lose it by not progressing like you need to do and not maintaining a GPA that you need to maintain or pass enough credits. And so it's the number of ways that you can lose that privilege too. So, but like you said, you know, there has to be a sense of urgency around some pieces that you have to do. And filling out the FAFSA, signing up for Promise Zone dollars, because the dollars are there. I think back and I can't remember a time where there were so many ways to get dollars to go to school and to develop your skills sets and grow. And like I said, Promise, Pell, Michigan Achievement Scholarship, Reconnect. All these are ways that can help fund the education.
Pastor Burns.
Dr. Selman, I know, I think I heard Dr. Cortez say this will be this graduating class will come in the fall, be the students who were freshmen when COVID started. How has COVID affected the university, the college, and it just in general, what kind of trends might we expect with Muskegon Community College or community college as a whole going for the next couple of years?
Well, it accelerated things that we needed to do in COVID, like online learning and all the ways that you can do that and to be flexible. We needed to do some of that and we were moving along that way. But when COVID hit in March of 2020, it was not preparing anymore. This is the way you can do it. And so, but COVID impacted that, and it probably impacted some learning gaps. But like I said earlier, the institution, the colleges have to be student ready. So we know that, right? And so we have ways that we onboard students now to help them refresh, develop some skills, long-term, short-term skill development, so that they can continue and persist, and so they don't miss a beat. So, but there's ways that we do that. But COVID changed that, and so we refine what we've done. We have we look at our onboarding process from admissions through financial aid, the business office, to the advisors, counselors, all that we have revamped since COVID, because we needed to make sure our students had a better experience at this institution. And from the planning to come here, and so from starting, staying, and succeeding. And so we want to make sure those things take care of. And COVID forced us to do some things differently. Now we had a couple of rooms, maybe three or four rooms that, you know, had all the technology. Yeah. Now we have over 25. Nice. And that happened after COVID, because we needed to connect the students where they were. And so when nobody could come to campus, we had to connect electronically. And we had to have the equipment and technology to do that. And so the other thing is, now we do more like Wi-Fi. If a student doesn't have Wi-Fi, we help provide that type of support, Wi-Fi support. If they need a loaner laptop, we do that, because more and more students are needing technology going forward. And so, but we adjusted most of our faculty got retrained on how to deliver online, because online is an option. And students expect and demand some things a little differently. And we want to, like I said, meet students where they are and deliver on our promise, our commitment.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, we talked about COVID, and we talked about job readiness. You talked about in your family, education being an important thing. In our household, it was an important thing as well, that our parents tried to instill in us that, you know, you are going to school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not staying at home. You are going to school. But there wasn't an exception. If the temperature was one, you're going. If it was below, you could stay home for the day. But you're going to school. Mm-hmm. Talk about parents really being involved in their kids when it comes down to this education.
Well, you have to set the expectations. You know, kids are going to follow their parents, as you know, mostly. And I think that's critically important, but to set the expectation. Like for me, my parents said, well, we want you, you know, they went to middle school and elementary education. But they said, we want you to be better than us. And so, but then I have like five brothers that graduated from college. And so at college, everybody's got some college in my family. And so, but my kids, right, when we have these conversations, I'm talking about setting expectations. When we had conversations, they're out of college now. They both graduated from college. They had two kids. But when, so the big thing at our house was, where are you going to college? Not if you're going. Mm-hmm. And so, but the generation before that, you know, we were talking about, you know, that wasn't like college wasn't like a major consideration for a lot of folks. But like I said, then, like when we went through college and I went through my kids, I would hear them say, oh, my dad, he's always talking about college, and my mom is always talking about college and stuff like that. First of all, I've been working higher ed like all my life, adult life. They won't go where I work at. I think that was their dig to me. No, don't want to go to school there, but we're going somewhere. But I think it's about expectations. You set the expectation. You know, I try to draw some parallels between education and work and income. And so, you know, if you got a high school diploma, you're going to make less than somebody has a social degree. Somebody has a social degree is going to make more than high school and, you know, and a bachelor's and master's and so on. because I think people need to know that you, you know, there's a correlation between education and income. There's a correlation between education and being laid off, not working and things like that, because you know, might not be in the best position. And I don't want to say education is the only route, but to me, it's the surest route to the middle class. That get it, you know, it's going to be very helpful for you as you move along. So
we're down at the bottom of the hour, and we only got a few more minutes with you, Dr. John. Get the information. I got a question. You guys, we talked about the younger generation, but you guys really work with older people, people coming out of prison and other things, giving them a chance to advance their lives and giving them a chance.
And like I said before, we're the community's college. We try to meet all students, young students, older students. And we have a lot of programs, you know, for adults. And I'm thinking 25 and older. And we had other programs that, but the deal is that we try to match the community's needs. And so we find ourselves looking around, making sure we survey students, we talk to students through focus groups, young or old, and to make sure that we're meeting their needs or trying to meet their needs. And so, but it's opportunity here, no matter, you know, today, tomorrow's the earliest you have left, right? And so, you know, we're here and we're very supportive. We have a very comprehensive community college, and it provides some opportunities. We can get you started and get you to the next level, whether you're going to work or you're transferring to a senior institution. We have a lot of history. Like I said, we're 98 years old in June. So we've been doing this for a while.
Nice. Pastor Burns, question.
Yeah, just real briefly, I know we went out of time, but Dr. Sung, and I like that the community is college, you know, and I was, you know, in addition to being an institute of higher learning, you're involved in other areas. I've seen you some of the chamber events. Maybe talk about that role the college fills in addition to just the educational role.
Well, you got to get involved in the community. You got to know what's going on in the community. So the chamber, the Promise Zone Authority, GMED, the Greater Muskegon Education Economic Office, what else? You know, the superintendent's meetings and things of that nature. And then we participate in a lot of community events, activities, sponsor a lot of things, because we need to, we're part of this community. We make up this community. We keep players in this community. And we have just under about 400 and just under 450 full and part-time employees here at the college. And so, you know, we have a commitment to this community and so do our staff and faculty. And we got some good people here, and we're very supportive of this community, and we'll continue to do those type of things. But we're involved. You got to get engaged. You know, and the other thing is we can't do this work alone. So we got to have the community support. We got to be engaged with community members and talk to the individual on a regular basis. And we do. We talk quite a bit to folks about their needs, some of the benefits of the college education, how we can support people. So.
Hey, Doctor, one last question. Literacy being such a huge problem with Muskegon, but you have people that, you know, if they can get beyond that, they can go to college, and they don't need to have that fear. That they need to know that you have somebody that will be willing to help them to move forward.
Mm-hmm. Without question. That's what I said. That's why I said meeting people where they are. So you get here and we can get our arms around you in terms of supporting you, finding out what your needs are and making sure we support you. So that we thrive on that, meeting students where they are and then take them from there to where they want to go. And some are at a slower pace than others, but the deal is that we're just trending in the right direction. And so, and we're committed to that. Go ahead.
So if somebody wanted to, how do they get involved in going to community college, and what would be their first step?
It depends on the level, because we're in the schools quite a bit. But come to campus, just come visit, just tour it. You know, it's the community college. Just come walk around, just get a sense for things, because we have people that come here and they walk through the campus, don't say anything to anybody, and then they come back a month later and say, you know, I was there on campus and I was going to do this and do that. So, but come to campus. We, like I said, we have some incredibly talented individuals here at this institution, and they're willing to help and support you. So just come to campus, just talk to folks, just see what it's like. You know, we have some of the best instructors. Like I said, our faculty are really strong. So just come to campus. If I had to encourage you to do anything, you know, we got a lot of tours that go on, a lot of activities, a lot of community events. We got a comedy show tonight. So it's I forget the name of it right offhand, but I'm going at 7:30. So we have a lot of concerts, a lot of theaters. But it's about helping people believe that they can do this and they can do that. But come to campus and talk. Yeah, come to my office. I see people all the time, talk to people all the time. And obviously we try to get them enrolled and see what their wants and needs are and to meet them where they are. But that's the thing is, and so I think creating a level of comfort and trust and because we're genuine about what we do, how we do it. And I think you'll sense that if you come to campus.
Dr. John Selman, we want to thank you for your open door policy and your wisdom. Would you be willing to come back and talk to us about trends and other stuff that's happening with community college?
Absolutely. Without question.
Well, consider us a resource, and we want to thank you, and you have a great weekend.
Yep, you too. Thank to both of you. Take care.
Take care. God bless. That was Dr. John Selman, president of Muskegon Community College. We're down at the bottom of the hour. Coming up is superintendent of Muskegon Public Schools, Mr. Matthew Cortez. It's bottom of the hour. We're going to take a commercial break. See you in a second on Torn Into on 103.7 The Beat and M106. And welcome back. We want to thank Visit Tanzania.com for being a sponsor. Would you introduce our next guest, sir?
Yes, sir. Well, he's a regular guest on the program. We might have to make him a host one of these days. We're always glad to have him. We always learn some new things. Would you join me in welcoming the superintendent of Muskegon Public School, Dr. Cortez? How are you, sir?
Dr. Cortez!
Gentlemen, how are you doing? Long time no see.
Good how to you see doing, you, sir.
Well, hanging in there. We're doing great over here.
Okay. For our listening viewers that are hearing you for the first time and seeing the first time, would you tell speak a little bit about yourself?
So this is right toward the end of my fifth year as superintendent here with Muskegon Schools. And I started a long time ago in Detroit. My first 7 years, 8 years, were in Detroit Public and bounced around a little bit because I kept hitting ceiling as I promoted through the ranks. So this is my 10th year as a superintendent, and it's great. It's a job that I love, near and dear to my heart.
Now, as we talked to our first guest, what drove you to enter into the educational field?
To be honest, my mother. I went to college at the University of Michigan, and I was in to become an engineer, car automotive concept design. And I came home my first summer, and my mom pulled me aside, and she said, "You need to do more for your people. Mm-hmm. You need to help people. The background that you have growing up, being the youngest of eight kids, and not being the most, being economically challenged, to say the best, you can change the world for a lot of kids."
Okay.
And I went back and joined the School of Education.
Mm-hmm. That's burned.
So I got to go here because we talked about this last time. I drive down Peck Street every 3 or 4 days. I walk at Marshfield. I could pretty much be a foreman at your site there. I see the shot put circle going in and the page for the discus throw. How close are we?
Well, we are going to have a community-wide celebration on May 2nd, which is a Thursday. We're going to start at 5:15. At 5:30, we are going to have the official ribbon-cutting dedication. And then we're going to be there from 5:30 to 7:30 and people can come in and tour the building, and we'll have specific, we have student ambassadors. Our students are our own ambassadors. So they'll be positioned throughout the building along with staff members to walk people through and kind of guide them and let them see all the major parts of the new building. Right now, like asphalt company's not open. So like the parking lot's not going to be done. Paving's not growing yet.
Yeah.
So, you know, there'll be a few things that aren't really complete.
Sure.
But all in all, I mean, the building will be in magnificent condition. Pride and joy, the jewel of our district for a while, you know. Mm-hmm. $35 million project. Took a little while to get done.
But yeah, talk to people some of the things that they can expect at this new middle school.
Well, I think one of the huge things that we've done is we have actually built a facility designed to teach the children of today. Mm-hmm. We have a $250,000 STEAM lab that is going to be debuting in the building.
Wow.
We have
Now, again, explain that to people because I'm thinking of sweaty guys in a room with towels.
So STEAM is, most people call it STEM, but we call it STEAM, and there's a really good reason. But so STEAM stands for science, technology, engineering, arts, and mathematics. And the reason that we use STEAM is because our art programs are huge to us, and they are very near and dear to our heart. So we've got about $250,000 invested in that lab. And it's really great because each of our elementaries are also going to have $250,000 STEAM lab. Okay. So as the students come through the elementary, we don't stop. We keep pushing the envelope at the middle school. You're going to see, you know, completely new service ideas with food service and eating. You'll see the brand new field right outside the cafeteria. It's breathtaking. The gymnasium has a suspended track from the ceiling, so you can walk around the ceiling. All the load from that track, instead of walking across the playing surface, people will come on from the second floor. Media center and the art room are up on the second floor, overlooking out toward Laketon, huge wall of windows. We purposely designed our music rooms and trapping noise for the band, trapping noise for the orchestra and the choir. There is so much that I could talk all day. What I'm going to say is you got to come and see it to believe it.
Mm-hmm. You know, people think, I don't know, maybe people don't, but talk about the significance of the food and nutrition aspect of middle school, your schools in general.
So you heard that the state of Michigan approved free lunch for all kids.
Mm-hmm.
We've been doing that for over a decade.
Mm-hmm.
So that speaks to the centralness that food is. When we went into COVID, I mean, school was basically March 13th of 2020. School stopped, right?
Right.
And we talked about it and talked about it. And we wanted to provide boxes of food for kids because food was that essential.
Mm-hmm.
Our families couldn't get up to the schools. So I looked at them and I said, let's keep our bus drivers working. They're like, you're going to go pick families up and bring them to the school? I said, no, we're going to load all the food onto the buses and we're going to deliver it to their homes.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, you know, what do you call it? DoorDash, I guess. So that's what we did. And I will tell you, by the middle of that summer, I think we're at $250,000 meals already serviced.
Mm-hmm.
Our students depend on our nutrition, as do a lot of our families.
Mm-hmm.
When I came here, we were in a hard way with what I would call quality and taste of food in our. But I will put our food against anybody's in this nation. We have a tremendous chef that's now part of our staff. We have a smoker. Like that's
nice.
They sit there and they smoke. They'll smoke roast and pork, and then they'll serve pulled pork sandwiches to our kids for lunch.
Okay.
And it's all free, right? So kids love the fresh deli. We bake the bread for the sub sandwiches right inside, and they cut it fresh, and the kids get to choose what goes on. It's just like we're just like going through Subway.
Okay.
We're very proud of where we're going with it, and we're going to continue pushing that barrier because our families deserve it, right? Okay. The only reason that I'm here is because of our students and our families. The only reason that that building exists and that we are able to do the amount of work we do with our bond money is because our community believed in us and gave us $105 million to put this district back on the map from a facility standpoint to educate kids.
Okay. Now, speaking of you, there is a bond issue or coming up in May, correct?
Correct. So what that is every 10 years or so, we have to put a bond out for, it's called the 18 mills for non-residential homes. So what this is the state of Michigan says a district has to collect 18 mills from its businesses, second homeowners, like vacation homeowners, things of that nature.
Okay.
And then if their funding slips, like let's say property values go way down or something, the state makes up that difference.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't continue at that 18 mills, the state's not going to make up that difference anymore because that's the way the law is written.
Okay.
So what the vote in May is to allow us to continue and recertify the 18 mills. It's what we tax right now. So it's no different than the taxes that we're charging on non-homesteaded properties right now. It's just we have to get voter approval to carry it on to, I think they said 2030 something.
So you hear that, Muskegon, it's no increase.
Correct.
Right?
Correct. Just like the bond was no, you know, the first section of the bond was no increase to our taxes. Mm-hmm. So this is no increase to our businesses. We love our businesses. We are redesigning our schools to actually pull our businesses back into us and get our students out into businesses, learning and working. So, you know, but we have to maintain that basic level of 18 mills. And I can't advocate for or against it. I can only tell you guys the information.
Okay. That's burn.
Yeah. Earlier we had Dr. Selma from Muskegon Community College on. Talk a little bit about your relationship to the community college here in Muskegon.
Oh my gosh. It is, you have places that I've been where community colleges are basically just non-existent when it comes to K through 12. Mm-hmm. And that is exactly the opposite with MCC. It is Dr. Selman energy. He attends almost every one of our countywide superintendent meetings. He gives us the ability to see where are a lot of our students going. And if our students are going that way, what can we do that can help them find better success post-secondary or after graduation? His role has been key for me. He has a lot of insights. He's a very, very intelligent and thoughtful person. I don't think they could have found a better leader to bring on to their staff, to tell you the truth.
Okay. What's, since the last time you were on the show, what has been some things, some new things that we haven't heard?
All right, you guys sitting down?
Oh, all
right. So I put in for a grant through Senator Peter's office, and we won $2 million.
Nice.
To create a 6 through 10 career exploration center on the property with our new middle school.
Wow.
And it's just the beginning. So this is going to be what I call phase one. So what we're doing as a district, and I talked a little bit last time about Ford Next Generation Learning. We are partnering with Ford Next Generation Learning to create an academy system K through 12 in our entire district. And what it looks like at each level is going to be very different. But in the end, our vision is transforming into every graduate that steps off of our stage knows exactly what they are doing on Monday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Wow. Awesome. No exceptions. No, this person fell through the cracks. Nope, none of that. Every graduate that steps off our stage will know exactly what they're doing on Monday morning. And notice, I didn't say it was about college. I didn't say it was about trade. I didn't say it was about, you know, self-business or getting different licenses, whether it's a beautician or a realtor or anything like that. We are connecting. We already have 70 businesses that we've connected with, and we are going to connect with more because we are going to help our local businesses by preparing kids what they need as future employees. And then our local businesses can take them right out of high school and invest in them and create the employees and the knowledge that they need specifically for their business to find success. This is, it's going to be out. Once we have this up and running, it's about a 3 to 4 year process is left. We're going to be on top of it. We are going to transform learning in this county. I guarantee it.
Excellent. You know me, I got to ask you a question about the arts and band. How are we doing?
We are doing good. We have a new band director. She has been working her tail off. Right now, our preliminary numbers tell us for next year, we've doubled the size of what last year's band was.
Nice.
So, and I think we're even going to hopefully, knock on wood, wind up a little bit bigger. When we go through, we're going to have a special community and parent night, or we have the special community night. We're also going to have a night just for parents and students. And when we're there, we're going to be there recruiting parents onto their side and recruiting students into their programs. So we do that actively. We're going to have a big arts festival that's coming up at Muskegon High School. And usually it's like the art classes, you know, the fine art classes, they'll put on displays and everything. We have an entire list, and I'll get them to forward it to you guys.
Please.
The theater, the acting, the choir, the music department, the fine art department, broadcast, like there is all these people that are now coming together, and each section of the building on the campus is going to have a specialty that people can walk through. So you can experience basically a majority of our arts in one visit and see the great things our staff does and the huge talent that our students bring to it.
That's right.
I thought I caught this morning. I was coming back from the gym, so I might've been loopy. Did I see a student from Muskegon was the student of the week on one of the TV stations?
Yes, he was. They just finished. I wasn't able to catch the interview. I think they just interviewed him yesterday.
Okay.
And that is huge. I think it was, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was TV 13.
Okay. May have been, yeah.
And I really, I want to catch it because I wasn't able to catch it yet. Been pretty busy today. Uh-huh. What a huge honor. He is one of our top students in the district. He is enrolled in college course that's here on our district. That's the other thing that people don't realize. We have a Michigan State University course operating on our district soil.
Okay.
We have MCC courses that are going to be operating on our soil. So a lot of our kids want to have a high school experience, but they long to know about college and things like that. So if we have to bring the resources to them, let's bring them to them. I mean, not a difficult concept. You just have to make sure that you build the right partnerships.
Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit. We had some people on the literacy program and how Muskegon, where we're at on literacy, and how important people coming out of Muskegon High School knowing how to read efficiently and ready and prepared for life.
Well, I'm even going to push it a little further. By the time they exit elementary school, they should have those skills solidly intact. What we are doing right now is we did a pilot this year, and I think we had 4 different curriculums in reading at our elementary level. And we have found one that really was a leap, and sometimes a leap and a bound ahead of all the other programs. And we're actually going to be adopting it. It's called Bookworms. We've already presented it to the board. At our next meeting, they're going to do the first read, and then they do a second reading option at a subsequent meeting. The ability, the literacy rate is problematic to all of us, right? We have to stop the spigot. That is the number one thing. Then we, at the same time, we are also addressing students that are within our district that are still struggling with it. So it's a kind of like a double front way forward. With our students, the key that I've always said, kids have to learn to love to read. If you can overcome that hill, they're going to read and they're going to devour subjects. It'll be unreal, the improvements that you see with our literacy rate across the entire county.
That's Burns.
And I know, I think we've talked before, even with that challenge with students, we know that sometimes the parents have some of those issues. I think you've talked about some ways to try to address that in the past with parents who may struggle with literacy issues.
Right. Like right now we're really getting like our bond projects are kind of hampering us a little bit. But once we're back in the original buildings, I really want to start looking at what are some things we can offer for adults. Part of the $2 million grant that we got, we're partnering with the unions, presidents of the unions, Ryan Bennett and those guys. And, and they're helping us build the modules to give our kids experiences. But then at nighttime, we want them to come in and hold apprenticeship training classes for our adults, because that becomes a livable wage job opportunity for a number of adults. And the number one problem that we see is transportation, because sometimes transportation, they can get there, but then something happens, right? There's an emergency, a fire, a hose bust. They can't afford to fix the car. So we need to start bringing that back into here. And with our unions, you know, they have all the connections to contractors. And now we can get some adults moving forward as apprentices. Then when they're an apprentice and they're doing a great job, the contractor they work for will sponsor them to go to the union training to become a journeyman. And that is like a master level, right? So now you're really talking about, you're not just at a livable wage, now you're at a thriving wage, right?
Yes.
And for too long, I feel we've been disconnected from our community as one of these core pillars. And I said it when I interviewed, and we're going to be taking front and center stage on a number of issues like this, and hopefully leading the way for a better life, not just for our students, but when you look at our logo, it says stronger schools, stronger community.
Right.
There's no other way to state it. And when we're doing this transformation into our academy programs at the high school and then aligning it all the way back to kindergarten, that's going to make us part of our community. It's going to pull in our chamber to us. It's going to pull in our Rotary. It's going to pull in our businesses. It's going to pull in our pastors and make everyone active in what is happening inside of our schools, so that we, this system that we're bringing in has to be bigger than any one of us in the system. So for instance, like, we've been plagued before, right? Superintendent for 5 years, gone. Superintendent for 2 years, gone. You know, you change over your HR people. You change over your curriculum people. Programs can't depend on people. Programs have to be based on structure and systems so that other people can come in and continue success.
Yes.
A big place we look at is Nashville Academies down in Tennessee. I personally went down there for 5 days and toured them and learned about them. They had 7 different superintendents in 9 years.
Wow.
Nothing fell apart. Not one thing fell apart with their academy system. And one of those 7 superintendents tried to undo it. And that's why that guy's gone, right? So, you know, that's what we need here. We need something that's going to outlive people that are, you know, the people that are such hard workers and innovative right now create the system so that when they're gone, it still lives and it becomes its own entity in making success for our kids.
Superintendent, I wanted you to talk about how I had to go to the school. It's unfortunate that this had to happen, but the safety, talk about the safety, getting into that school. It's only one way to end, but talk about the importance of safety and the things and changes that you guys have done.
So safety is something that if a student doesn't feel safe, they're not going to be alone. I mean, let's just face it. It's a basic core feeling that can override everything. And our schools, I'll put them up against any schools in the state of Michigan. And I've been in a number of school districts. We are a safe school district. When I see something that happens and I look at it, and I'm like, okay, how could we have avoided this? How do we come preemptive? How do we come, you know, proactive rather than reactive on situations like this? We had a situation where a student had brought a weapon into the middle school. It happened probably about 3 months ago. Instantly, the next morning, I had our Evolve system, which we used at our football games and our basketball games. I had it set up at the middle school, and everybody comes through the Evolve system. That protects us. That gives us another layer, because there's not one magic answer. Because if there was, all of us would do it as schools, right? Across the nation. Where your protection is your protection is openly having conversations about safety and practices with your kids, making sure they understand what is the core tenet of how we're going to keep you safe. Then you start putting layers on. It's kind of like when you go outside in the wintertime. We all know about that, right? Yeah. You can wear a nice one heavy jacket, or you can wear about four or five layers, and you stay warmer in the layers, right? So that's what we do with our safety and security. We create layers that create more and more and more safety. And then we educate our staff and we educate our students so that if something was to happen, we have the ability of dealing with it without like losing control, right? We've had a number of incidents in the neighborhoods this year.
Right.
And when we have an incident in the neighborhood, we go into something called a secure mode. That is not a lockdown. A secure mode, so we double check our perimeter on our building and we make sure that all the doors are locked, because that's usually that's the way we operate year round, all every day. But then we become more mindful, and our teachers know, become more mindful about what's happening outside your windows and things like that. But we're going to continue to teach. We've had to enter that multiple times this year. Every time we have to go into something like that, we immediately, as soon as we're able to, we send a text message and email out to our parents to explain exactly what's happening, exactly what's going on, and that their kids are safe. I'm going to tell you, when I came here, my son started in seventh grade. He's in 11th grade right now. He'll graduate next year. I have, in my life, I've never, ever, since I've been here, I've never worried about his safety, period.
WVS 103.7 LP, serving Muskegon and Muskegon Heights. We're at the top of the hour. We have a few minutes left. I had to get that in. So many questions. I'm going to let you take it, Pastor Burns.
Okay. I know we're getting close to time. Anything else you want to tell us? I know we're getting close to commencement and all those senior activities.
The graduation's coming up. It's the Wednesday before Labor Day.
Okay.
We're going to be graduating at historic Hackley Stadium. This fall, we will debut Marquette. We will also debut Oakview, newly renovated.
Mm-hmm.
We're also taking our TWE program, and we are placing our two-way immersion program for the elementary schools. It's going to be on the Glen side, which right now houses all of our early childhood.
Yes.
And we're going to take all of that early childhood, and they're going to come back into their home elementary schools. Okay. So when our kids are 3 or 4 years old, they're starting in the atmosphere of our elementary schools. And when you do that, it increases a student's ability to learn, but it also increases our ability to wrap around that student sooner.
Yes.
One last question. I know you've had conversations with the community about Nelson and Steele. What are some of the things that you're hearing?
Well, Nelson, we already have a tentative agreement with General Capital. They are going to be turning it into affordable housing. They went for a tax credit through the state of Michigan in December, and their project wasn't chosen, but they really are confident it's going to get chosen in October. With Steel Building, we are putting out what's called an RFP, which is a request for proposals. Mm-hmm. And inside of that request for proposals, we listed out what we learned through our community meetings with the neighborhood association and with our parents and even our students about things they would like to see addressed to help grow or benefit their neighborhood. Like, here's a big one. They don't want somebody to come in and just put infill housing in all of that land. Now, they understand you're going to have to do something in order to make money about the money you're investing. But if you build housing, then build it similar to the lots that exist in the neighborhood, rather than try and jam-pack a whole bunch of people in there. So we're asking for people to submit proposals to us. This is going to probably early next week is what we're looking at. When we put it out there for about 3 weeks and we walk people through the building, then they submit everything and we go over it as a district and we select what we think is the best plan for our neighborhood, for our district, and for our community at large.
Superintendent Matthew Cortez, you have an open door policy. How can people get in touch with you?
They can give me a phone call. 720-2004 is directly to my office area, or they can email me, or they can just stop by and knock on the door.
All right. We'll see you soon.
All right. You guys have a great night. Thanks.
Thank you. Take care now.
Okay. That was Superintendent Matthew Cortez. Listen, we went a little bit over. My brother, as we tell everybody, I don't have a chance to do this often. Lady J, PA, Big Rob, Mihan, the people at the station that make this thing happen. Thank you, thank you, thank you that you guys work. And thank you for listening and watching because you make a huge impact and we want to educate you. Anything else you want to say, Pastor?
No, peace and blessings to everybody.
Peace and blessings to you. Go out and serve somebody. Go out and sow that seed every week. You never know. You might judge. Take care. God bless. We'll see you next week on Turning Into.